Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Daniel, we're back with the upsell. New format, food stories.
Yep.
It's going great. We've gotten a lot of great feedback, I have to say. Not to toot our own horns, but our small and engaged audience is into the format shift.
And growing.
Growing every day. Can I tell you about something that happened to me this weekend?
Sure. Is it extremely exciting?
No. But I want to get your I want to get your take. So I was getting a drink, a spontaneous Sunday night drink. With my friend JJ.
Okay.
At the
Why does it sound like a noir pulpy, like with my friend JJ?
My friend JJ. I mean, that's probably just like
it was raining.
His name. Okay. Whenever you say it, it's like, oh,
is it just JJ? It's just the name JJ, and all of a sudden JJ. I'm like Double Indemnity.
You're like, it was raining. Yeah, and we were at the Mexican place next to my apartment.
So when a mystery walked in.
We got a drink.
Okay.
I thought it would be one drink, turned into two drinks, but that's fine. You know what? I can handle it. And then the wonderful proprietor of the Mexican place next to my apartment gave us shots, which I should be very happy about.
Nope. You know, I wouldn't be.
It was delicious tequila, free. Like, why not? But it just turned something that should have been just like a chill end of Sunday, end of the weekend, into like maybe drinking a little too much.
Yeah.
I'm wondering your take on getting free drinks at bars and restaurants.
It's either the greatest thing in the world or an awkward thing, because if it's a drinking night and I'm like, I'm going out tonight, I'm going to do something.
Right.
And then someone...
Do you have drinking nights where it's just like, no limit, I'm drinking tonight,
yeah,
whatever
happens. My Canadian friends and I will be like, we're going out tonight.
We're going out.
Yeah, yeah. Should we go out tonight?
We're putting on our...
let's go.
Whatever. What do you wear?
What do we wear when we go out?
I don't know if you have, like, going out. Putting on the blazers.
Do you think we
going to the bar?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just jeans, a sport jacket.
Great.
And a little pocket square. Put on our
Setting
roll.
Up
put
the
on
beer
our
pong
Rolexes.
Table? You do have a beer pong table in your house, right?
It's not... First of all, let me close this loop by saying there's no uniform.
Fine.
We're not... going to like the polo club though.
Sure.
It's just the idea. You just let the
but
night.
You mentally prep. We're going out.
I don't have a beer pong table in my apartment. I have a wonderful piece of furniture that I bought from Crate and Barrel on. Mm-hmm. It was discontinued. Mm-hmm. I bought it from Crate and Barrel, and it's a bar that folds out. The top of the bar folds out and happens to be an appropriate length to play beer pong on, but. I did buy it with the intention of playing beer pong on it, but that was a long time ago. I've grown. I still play.
If you want to see it, follow Daniel Janine on Instagram.
Do I put it up
every once in a while on a Saturday night?
Are you happy about
it? See, yeah, so I was like, oh,
he's back. Anyway, if it was one of those nights and I was out for dinner at a Mexican restaurant and someone poured me a glass of or a shot of mezcal. Sipping or just straight shoot. I'm amped AF.
Like, yes.
Yeah. 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 Especially when the bartender or whoever, I mean, we've talked about this before, but when the person serving you like kind of sneaks one and has one with you.
Yeah. Oh, this guy was totally doing that.
Oh, it's the best in the world. But it's actually a source of anxiety for me because, like, as you know, I lived in the same place for a while. I've go to some of the same restaurants, and as I start to know people, you know, and also with this job, you get people are interested in talking to you as a customer, and mm-hmm. you can occasionally will be given some things to try. And I am very cut and dry about my drinking and non-drinking nights. And a non-drinking right. night, I want nothing. I don't want to be anywhere near alcohol.
So then if you're having a non-drinking night,
And somebody walks over like, oh, bro, you got to try this. Like, we just got this shipment in from whatever. And I'll do it, but it kills. I hate it.
Oh,
I hate
so you will do it. You will do it.
I'll take a tiny sip and then get rid of it. Maybe
and then just dump it on the floor.
So the trick is I always order soup on. I'm just kidding. No, I want to get rid of it at all costs. My problem is this.
Like sneak it in the bathroom, pour it down the toilet.
Okay, I'll swish it around my mouth. No, my problem is one or two drinks gives me a light buzz that prevents me from sleeping. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I don't like to live in that range.
Right.
I like being bone sober is my easiest way to fall asleep. I know people that
zero
are like...
Zero or three plus for Daniel
Zero
Jane.
Or four or five wow. plus, yeah.
Oof, this is a whole another episode.
Is it?
I don't know.
But no, you know, people are like, oh, one glass of wine and I sleep like a baby.
Right.
Anyway, so I don't like it. I know I can feel when it's coming mm-hmm. and it starts to make me anxious.
Like, oh, this guy's looking at me like he's going to give me a shot.
I was like, I can tell that guy in his eyes, he got a nice new shipment of something.
Yeah, he's like real excited Janine about it. Daniel Janine is going to want to try this cocktail.
I'll tell you one time I was sitting at a restaurant that I go to a lot next to a liquor rep.
Oh, boy.
And he was like a kind of a cowboy dude. He had a mezcal thing and he's like, try some of this. You haven't had ours? You got to try it. And I was just like, I don't feel like it. No, thank you. But I didn't care because he wasn't
right.
the bartender.
Right.
And that was great.
But you feel like everyone else you have to impress, so you have to say yes.
Also, when I'm in a liquor store or something, buying something, and there's like a sample, a demo or whatever, and it's like 11 on a Saturday mm-hmm. or something, and everyone's like, oh, shit, freeze. I was like, I want nowhere near that.
No,
but
way.
I have
it's gonna
no,
ruin my day.
But I don't need, I have no, I don't feel guilt about that. So I'm right. fine with those. It's just really that.
I wonder if bartenders have gone easier on that kind of behavior now that there's more of a movement towards people like not drinking and people are more public about their, you know, sobriety.
I think that's an interesting question, right? We are in the mocktail era.
Yeah.
Or maybe
or
it's
you're
growing.
Not supposed to call it that.
No, sorry. Zero proof. Mm-hmm. I think it's more what the change I've noticed is I feel like when you're at a table with someone who is a non-drinker or not drinking for any reason, they're like, oh, I'm not drinking tonight. The bartender or whoever's serving you will always be like, oh, great, cool. Yeah, we have a good collection of yeah. juices or whatever. Whereas maybe 5 years ago, they'll be like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's going to be a fun one. Your friends are right. all.
Well, and I guess in the case of my story, mm-hmm. I was already drinking two margaritas on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And we were like the last people in the bar. So I hope.
He was like, these are spontaneous people.
Yeah. David is definitely not listening to this. But I would hope
well,
if he
with
were,
our new I format, you never know.
You never
okay.
know. I wouldn't want him to get the impression that I'm not appreciative because I appreciate his generosity.
That's why I feel guilty because you appreciate
it. Yeah, it's like, he's so nice.
Yeah.
And like, it was very delicious. It's just. You know, going to bed Sunday night, I'm like, fuck. I should have just gone home and watched like Game of Thrones. It was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daniel.
Yo.
Hey. Okay.
Hey.
I have two related things I want to talk about with you. Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat.
Very related.
Very related.
Gotcha.
Okay. So first up, Impossible Burger. Turns out this is the burger that bleeds, the veggie burger that's like sweeping the nation. It's now in Burger King and mm-hmm. it's been in fancy restaurants for a while and it's a...
Just dripping blood all over America.
It's what's White Castle. It's a White Castle too.
Oh yeah.
They are experiencing a shortage right now because it's so popular.
It's so big.
It's so big.
It's slamming.
Yeah. That's the big news there.
That's the big news there. I knew that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I think maybe this is, tell me if this is boring,
uh-huh.
but what I was thinking in my head when I first read that was there are no, I couldn't name a like ground beef manufacturer mm-hmm. that's like the one. You know,
you don't know the brands?
I mean, I know some brands. I especially know like Palafreda in
yeah.
New York. And then you know some of the ones that are selling in Costco's and Walmart's
right.
and big industrial factory farm brands. but it seems like there's no other burger that has a brand name.
Right.
It's like right now, if you said, what is the biggest burger in America?
Well, you could say fast food burgers have brand names, right? You could say like a Whopper.
A Whopper. Yeah, but that's not the patty, right? No. So it wouldn't be like you couldn't go to TGI Fridays and get a Whopper.
Right.
But it's just that single patty is being sold in so many different restaurants at different price points.
And you can go in and say, hey, do you have Impossible?
And not only that, but people are obsessed with it. In this story, there was a, I can't remember, was it Kelsey's or one of these big chain TGI Friday style places that was completely sold out and they bought Beyond Meat burgers.
It was at this little place called Ruby's in New York. They brought on Beyond Meat.
Oh, Ruby's, the Australian
sandwich shop. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I read that as Ruby Tuesdays.
No. It's my little Ruby's. But yeah, people were pissed. They want the Impossible Burger.
What? They want that blood. That veg blood.
They want the veg blood.
The hemoglobin.
On the flip side.
Oh, no pun intended.
I was just at a restaurant talking to the owner about the Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
I ordered it. I ate it. He was saying that, yes, it's very popular. It's also very popular in caviar. People order it for their home. But because he's in the financial district, he gets a lot of tourists. And the tourists oftentimes are upset when they get their Impossible Burger because it's bleeding and they don't like the blood. And he's actually gotten really bad Yelp reviews from people being like, we were expecting a veggie burger. Instead, I got this like weird, you know, bleeding fake meat thing.
Wow.
Yeah. I would not have thought of that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There are just veggie burger fans out there who are not going to be satisfied.
They want the old school Morningstar.
How do they feel about the texture, eyes closed? I guess you didn't ask him.
I didn't ask him about that. Mm-hmm. I think he's just like, oh, what do I do about these tourists that want like old school veggie burgers?
Well, it's very simple. I mean, you have both.
Yeah, he has to go, but now he has to go do that.
Oh, get yourself a chickpea patty. You know, he's going to be all right.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's very psyched because he does not eat gluten, and the new Impossible Burger 2.0 has no gluten in it. So he's flying high.
Is this huge? Is Impossible Burger, do you think it's going to...
It might be huge. I mean, Burger King, we talked about it before, and they did the test in St. Louis, but this week they announced they're bringing it to 7,000 locations.
Mm-hmm.
So, relatedly, Daniel...
yeah.
Beyond Meat, the competitor, went public this morning on the day we're recording. So you guys will hear it later. But Thursday, May 2nd, they IPO'd. Stock more than doubled in value right out of the gate. It's now trading at $60.
Right.
When just last week the company was estimating it would start selling at $19 to $21. So, you know, I mean, the first day of trading is always a little whatever, but something. It didn't crash right out of the gate.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. The chains that have Beyond Meat are Del Taco, Carl's Jr., TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
And there are like a bunch of grocery stores.
We had a piece on Eater asking when McDonald's would finally cave and get the Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
In this story also, McDonald's has started selling is experimenting with the Incredible Burger.
What's the Incredible Burger?
I think it's made by Nestle, I believe.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's just crazy to me that that they would want to kind of knock off the name a little bit, like go in the same vein. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure that came up in a meeting. And they were like, yeah, let's just go for it.
So, all right, here's a question. Do you think we'll see any fancy New York restaurants doing like a funny take on Impossible? Like an Impossible chili, or, I don't know, an Impossible mole or something like that? I feel like that could happen in a few.
It could happen.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that day,
You're
I guess.
Not? I like that everyone, Impossible is like the Game of Thrones of the protein world right now. Everyone's diving in. Everyone's talking about it.
Everyone wants in.
Everyone wants in.
Yeah, I think the best application for this is fast food. Because while I enjoyed my burger today, if I'm going in for a burger, a real burger to a restaurant, I want the real thing.
Oh, you weren't head over heels.
I liked it. I could see how it would be an awesome option when you're like on a road trip and you have to stop at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
But also, like, if we're trying to eat less meat as a culture, like, I'm on board.
I think it's a net positive.
Yeah. They're saying that it takes a lot of energy to make these things still, but I think they'll work that out.
Mm-hmm. Spiritual energy?
No. Energy.
Okay. Next up, Greg Morabito is here, Eater's pop culture editor. guru to talk. We've got some TV stuff to cover this month or this week, I guess. Hey, Greg.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, Dan? Are you someone who watches Game of Thrones?
Yeah, 100%. Are you? Yeah, you must be.
I am. I'll be like completely honest with you, though. I'm probably not your garden variety Game of Thrones watcher. I basically watch it for the memes, like to be able to understand what's going to happen on the internet the next day.
You don't like to miss out on what the internet is talking about, eh?
I feel like at this point, especially with Game of Thrones, like if you don't understand what happened on Sunday night, just Twitter is not going to make sense for like 4 days, you know?
More importantly, for our purposes, the brands are thirsty.
Yeah, the brands have been pretty thirsty around this final season of Game of Thrones. It's interesting because if you look back at the history, I guess it's been 8 years or, yeah, 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. The TV show and HBO have not done a lot of brand partnerships, sponsorships and things over the years. Like, mm-hmm. I think when they launched, they had like a food truck that Tom Colicchio was part of, but like not a lot of other stuff. And then they've been kind of slowly building it up just a little bit, a few more sort of brand partnerships and things like that. And then since the Super Bowl this year, Super Bowl Sunday, when the dragon from Game of Thrones crashed into the Bud Light Dilly Dilly universe, it's just been this onslaught of different promotions and deals and partnerships between Game of Thrones and all these other brands, including a bunch of food brands.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is the last gasp. And something I read is that, you know, Game of Thrones is really so expensive to produce.
Yeah.
So they can offset the cost of making the show and paying all those actors, you know, their huge salaries by partnering with brands and doing these kind of cross promotional deals. But it's interesting. It is like kind of surprising, I think, to see like they have like Oreos that have the crests of the different Game of Thrones houses on them. Shake Shack, they did a special cheese bacon cheeseburger that guests can only order if they ask for it in Valyrian, a language that's on the show. There's like branded single malt scotches and beer and wine. And like the weirdest one to me is Mountain Dew has a special can, a limited edition can that is completely white. But when you put it in the freezer or the fridge and it cools down, it displays the names of all the people that Arya Stark has killed. So it's just kind of like the thing that I find funny about it is obviously Game of Thrones is this huge phenomenon. It's probably the biggest cultural phenomenon aside from Marvel and the Avengers right now in terms of its sort of universality. But the unusual thing about it is that, like, it's this huge cultural phenomenon, but the show has so much ghastly stuff in it, all this, you know, outrageous violence and incest, and there's rape, and it's bloody, and, you know, it's like, definitely the most sort of hard R, adult-themed, kind of gory, at times smutty show that I think I've ever seen so many big brands clamor to get a piece of, you know?
Which of these to you works?
I mean, I think that they all sort of work on this basic level of Game of Thrones fans and to a large extent, just sort of fans of pop culture in general are paying attention to anything Game of Thrones related. And so, you know, when there's a new promotional tie-in that pops up, I think people like are generally just sort of curious a little bit. It just kind of keeps Game of Thrones and whatever that brand is like in the conversation constantly. Like, I can't tell you how many people have asked me about the Game of Thrones Oreos, which we didn't even really cover very much on either, but it's just something like, I don't know if people talk about it or they see about it on online somewhere, but it's just something. It's like, well, people like Oreos, people like Game of Thrones. And if you have Game of Thrones Oreos, then people are going to think about both Game of Thrones and Oreos a little bit more than they normally would, you know?
Okay, Greg, can you tell us about this new initiative at Burger King that's kind of, I guess, in response to Happy Meals?
We're living in this era where fast food brands try. They throw anything they can to the wall to see what sticks. And, like, they'll try anything, I think, to generate some good buzz on social media or just to get people talking. And so Burger King this month just rolled out something they're calling Real Meals, which are basically like Happy Meals. Like the box looks exactly like a Happy Meal, but they're monochromatic. They're in kind of moody colors, and they have these moods written on them, like blue, salty, yes, pissed, and DGAF. Mm-hmm. So the idea here is that you're not always happy, because kids these days aren't always happy. So they're giving you other moods that you can align with when you want a Whopper, fries, and a soda.
Because that's what sad Gen Zers want. They want to reflect their mood in their corporate paper boxes.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
Exactly. The thing that annoyed me about this is that, you know, I got like an announcement about it or my email, and Burger King said that they partnered with Mental Health America on this campaign, selected May for its launch as its Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm. But it just doesn't seem sincere. Like, if it was just an ad about, hey, you should feel okay however you're feeling because it's Mental Health Awareness Month and, you know, it's okay to get support, you know, take some time, do self-care. If that was the message, and then at the end it said Burger King or whatever,
That would be fine.
And when you're done, come to Burger King.
Right. But they're trying to say, hey, maybe there's all these issues that are weighing on your mind. Maybe you need to take some self-care. So why don't you do it at Burger King?
Do it at Burger King with this gray box of crap.
Exactly.
Therapy sure makes you hungry.
For Burger King.
It's still an advertisement, you know? Like when I saw this, I thought, oh, somewhere there's like older millennial Don Draper and Gen X Roger Sterling, and they're just like clinking glasses because they just figured out their new hotshot campaign, you know?
Oh my God, it is definitely an older millennial and like a Roger Sterling Gen X.
Greg, in the piece, did you mention that no money from the sales of these neutral meals or whatever are going to the Mental Health Awareness Organization?
That is correct. They're not giving up any proceeds from this, and... Yeah. I'll also say that somebody from that organization like reached out to me this morning and was like, you didn't get the point of the ad, man.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I don't think you get the point of the ad, man. I mean, like this is a tool that they're using to sell Whopper.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, next up, there are these new plates called brew social plates. The point of the brew social plates are to be the opposite of social.
Supposed to disrupt
social. Well, anyway, they look like clay, kind of artsy French countryside ceramic dishware,
mm-hmm.
but hidden in this like speckled, I don't know, seawaterish pattern
mm-hmm.
are QR codes. And a QR code is a barcode that you're, when you try to take a picture of it, your phone sees it as a web link
yeah.
and will pop open a web address. So what these plates have hidden in them is social media booby traps
mm-hmm.
that are meant to pop open
pranking
this website
you.
Saying, hey, before you take this picture, or like, I see you're taking a picture of the food, consider the people you're with. I can't remember exactly what they say.
It says, nice photo, but don't forget to enjoy your dining companions as well.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, let me.
You like that?
No. I hate it, actually, because if you're going to do it, then do it. Don't nice photo me.
No.
Be like, put down your phone, dickhead. That's what I wanted to say. You know, the problem is that Instagram is such a big deal for restaurants promoting themselves and so important right now in the restaurant
yeah.
ecosystem that they're not ever going to be like, no photos. I'm surprised how few restaurants have really gone no photos.
It was a big thing back in the day, and now everyone's toppled over.
I appreciate that this is an innovative thing. What would you do if you were in a restaurant and you saw one of these plates?
I'd be so fucking pissed. I hate the whole thing. It's none of their business.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be sending things to my phone.
This is the first question I should have asked.
They shouldn't be having messages pop up on my phone if I want to take a picture of my food.
Yeah.
You know, like if they want to be scoldy to my face. Don't do this weird QR code thing and prank people. Like that's
yeah.
so rude. I would never go back to that restaurant.
Wow. How do you feel? Have you ever been in a place where like, have you ever been in one of those restaurants where they ask for your phone at the door? And put them in a box
no,
or anything?
No,
how would you feel
I've
about
seen
that?
That.
Would you be like, I have kids at home?
I don't think I would use that, but I would just be like, no. Like at Hearth, they had those boxes.
Yeah.
It's like, put your phone in the box. Like,
but those
I'm,
are stupid,
I'm
too.
I'm an adult.
Because those
can,
are just boxes.
I can decide what I want to do. Don't condescend to me.
Have you heard my friends, and again, just like the scorning has tapered off, we used to play a game where... you know, maybe 2-3 years ago, whenever we'd go for a group dinner, that if we would stack all our iPhones in the middle of the table and it was just like group shame, you weren't allowed to touch it.
Uh-huh.
And then if you grabbed yours, you had to like buy everyone a drink or something.
And then people would grab their phones?
People would grab it and be like, all right, I'll buy everyone a drink. I need to check something.
I need to, what do they check?
I mean, who knows what it is, a hockey game score or maybe a text from their crush? I don't know.
Wild.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about that game? Would you play?
You're
good about, we've been out to dinner and you're good about not.
I don't look
phone.
At my phone at dinner. No.
Yeah.
I think it would be weird to play that game.
You hate.
I don't have any friends who would do that.
You hate. You know, you're going to not look at your phone, but you don't want anyone telling you not to look at your phone.
Yeah, I think we can all control ourselves.
You're good at controlling yourself. Nobody.
I don't. But I don't need someone else. I don't need
99th percentile of self-control, in my opinion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. But I also don't think a restaurant has the right to tell you how to behave in that way.
What if they had these plates with the QR code, but like you take a picture and it gives you the recipe of the dish or the ingredients?
I guess I would be more amenable to that. Yeah.
You couldn't be less amenable. It sounded like, but when I asked you, it sounded like they were.
Well, I was mad that they're being intrusive. So I think I would still be annoyed. I would still be very annoyed. Yeah. If you took a picture of your food and then it's like, hey, check out the recipe. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if it was like you go to take a picture of the food and then it was like a fun anecdote from the chef's childhood?
Yeah, no. Worst of the three. All right, Daniel, a new food item, I guess is what we should call it, came out this week called guacamole cheese. It's one of those things that pops up across all your feeds and then everyone on the internet writes a stupid story about it and they're all in their Slack channels being like, what's our take on guac cheese? So it's, what is it exactly? It's just like, it looks like cheese flavored with guacamole. I think that's what.
I actually don't know. What is it exactly? Is it, it just is green cheese?
It's a guacamole Gouda blend cheese that you can have at your like low grade supermarket.
Okay, so this is really dumb. So it's just guac flavored cheese.
Guac flavored cheese. So
what's
this
interesting
popped up
about this is
the internet.
How big it got.
Yeah, and if you Google it, I just think it's funny, Daniel, to look at all of the headlines
you're
that
enjoying
people wrote.
You're enjoying Danieling me today, eh?
I mean, yeah. Your mom is always
not
listening.
Not that. It just sounds, my mom is always, she's here.
So if you Google guacamole cheese, you can just see how various media outlets decided to cover it and how they tried to come up with their angle. And I always find it funny with viral food stories like this just to see what everybody's take is.
Yeah. Okay. Give me your favorites.
Okay. I'm just Googling it right now and reading through what comes up at the top. San Francisco Chronicle.
Love that
first
one.
Response. Guacamole cheese now exists. Where is your God now?
Wow. What does that tell you about? If you knew nothing about the paper, give me your. What is
that? They're just trying to go absurdist because they're so embarrassed to be covering this at all.
Right. Did we cover it?
Let's see. I remember seeing it in Slack, but it maybe ended up in some news roundup.
Yeah.
Nope. So proud.
You're not going to find a guac cheese story on Eater, just on the Eater upsell,
just
where we devote
Eater.
6 minutes of our lives to it.
Correct. All right.
Give me some more.
People magazine, guacamole cheese now exists, and it's made with real avocados. Like, so dumb. That's so embarrassing to be that person. AOL.com, also embarrassing. Guacamole cheese is here to make eating guacamole even easier. Like,
wow.
There's no person who's writing this that thinks this is cool. No one's like, oh, guacamole gouda.
You think both those headline, both those writers are miserable?
Yeah, 100%. They're like, oh, okay, this is what's going to get people to click on it. This is what our audience wants.
Yeah, but if they're coming up with something so dynamic, like it makes eating guacamole even easier, you got to imagine that that's came into their heads. And they're like, I go to bed every night and I'm like, shit, I haven't eaten enough guacamole today. If only it was incorporated into other products.
More?
Yeah.
Miami Herald, ready for guacamole cheese? Some aren't sure how to feel about the NC-based grocer's dip. Makes you wonder. Very like local news headline. Like, is there some controversy here? Click through and find out. And it's probably like two people on the street being like, huh?
the man on the street interview is like, oh, what did they do now?
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I mean, and then the other person's like, well, I like guacamole and I like cheese.
I'd try it, I guess. I guess I'd pick one up. Munchies, guacamole cheese is a thing now, but it shouldn't be.
Whoa.
Ooh.
So spicy.
Somebody's got some edge. What else? Cooking light. Guacamole cheese now exists, but is it healthy?
Well, that's very on brand.
Very on brand. And then if you click through, you see they got all the calorie counts.
Yep.
Just saying. All these different ways you can approach the story. All slightly embarrassing.
Yeah.
But some people tried to keep their heads held up.
If you had to write this story, what do you title it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd be like, I hate that I have to write a story about guacamole cheese. I would write what I'm doing right now. Guacamole cheese is here. Hear how 20 different publications wrote headlines about it.
You know what this is? It's humbling. Because if someone was like, hey, there's guacamole cheese, I would have two thoughts. I'd be like, so avocado, onion, vague onion, garlic flavored cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably out already.
Right, right. Like that must exist.
That should have. I feel like that's 3 years ago in terms of the trajectory of our food innovation.
Yeah.
Or they were like, well, it's not out yet, and I'd be like, that doesn't sound like it's going to be that big a deal to me.
You would not have predicted that you would find a piece on People magazine about guacamole cheese.
And we got emails about it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The takeout. I usually love these guys. Guacamole cheese is here for your Cinco de Mayo mashup.
Mm-hmm.
Leaning into the Cinco de Mayo theme.
Are you going to sleep easy tonight knowing we didn't cover this? Or are you like, I'm in this world.
I'm so proud. I'm so happy that it's only the upsell that is covering this for the Eater brand.
Are we falling on this sword?
Well, this is, I mean, we gotta talk about news stories every week, man.
Hopefully there's more cheeses that come out next week.
I hope so.
What cheeses haven't been made already? If they haven't made guac cheese.
Let's explore that next week. Write in. Any cheese you want to see? No, please don't.
Is there bacon cheese?
Probably. There's cheese with bacon.
Yeah. But is there bacon flavored? Anyway, whatever.
Okay, let's move on.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.